Well, this is not Red River, but I'll tell you one thing, it is home. And I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I hope that you're glad to be here as well. And thank you, all of you who are visiting with us today. I've met several. I haven't met everybody, but thank you for coming and being with us today. Your presence does encourage us, and I hope that you'll enjoy the time that we spend together. I want to welcome Anson. Andrews, we're hold him up. Let's see. He's back there somewhere. There he is. Oh, we're so glad to have him here this morning as well. I want to remind everybody that on Tuesday, I think in the bulletin it says 4 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock, it doesn't matter, but we'll eat around 5:30 or 6, something like that. I want to invite all of those who had any part in our vacation Bible school, whether it was before VBS or during VBS or if you're planning on helping us with the follow-up to our vacation Bible school, if you just stayed out of the way, you're welcome to come over on Tuesday evening and have a old-fashioned 4th of July fellowship with us. I'm going to be providing the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the buns and as well as some drinks and lemonade and so forth. If you'll bring some chips or maybe a potato salad or something like that, maybe some baked beans or something like that, and if you have one, bring a lawn chair. I have a number, but I may not have enough for everybody. So please come and enjoy that time with us. And then later in the evening, those that want to, we'll go out to the lake and we'll watch the fireworks display put on by. Is the city having one this year? I'm assuming they are. If not, well, we'll buy a couple firecrackers and have our own or something. Anyway, go out to the lake. Go out on Hartford Avenue and go to, which becomes Kiger when you make that right turn. And down there just a little ways, there's a turn into the park area called Snake Road. Pull in there, go back in there and find us, and we'll all get together and have a celebration of Vacation Bible School and the 4th of July together. July 4th is a time, or the time, when Americans celebrate our nation's declaration, at least, of independence from British rule. It's a remembrance of that time when we became a sovereign nation. A nation founded by people, many of whom, not all of them, of course, but I would imagine that it was most people, were devout believers in God and in Christ. In fact, enshrined in that monumental document we call the Declaration of Independence, there can be found clear affirmations of faith in God. Those who wrote and then signed their name to that document spoke of a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Now, that's not just happenstance. That divine providence means God. That's referring to God. They spoke of the rights entitled to them by the laws of nature and by nature's God. They also said with great passion their conviction that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. In recent times, however, in this great nation of ours, different sounds have been heard. Instead of affirming faith in God, instead of calling people to godliness, there have been many voices calling us away from our Christian heritage. There are voices that are changing our culture, changes that many of us would agree are not good changes. many in the media and university professors and Hollywood actors and actresses and many political leaders are leading actually an outright attack on Christianity, on historic Christianity, and undermining. And when they do that, they're undermining the foundation, do you understand? They're undermining the foundations upon which this country exists. This country that was founded for the purpose of freedom is in danger of being lost because of these attacks on Christianity. One of the things that I really enjoyed this past week about the Red River encampment was the frequent reminder that we as Christians, we need to be men and women who can be counted on to stand up in this cultural war that's going on. We need to stand up and let our voices be heard, both in the halls of heaven as well as in the halls of our political institutions, that we need to make our country godly again. Not just great, but godly. Incidentally, this evening at 5 o'clock, I plan to share with you one of those, I plan to share with those of you who are present. Now, if you're not present, you don't get it. Okay? So you'll all be here, right? Good. All right. But I want to share with you one of the lessons that we heard out there. For the last several years at least, when I've been to the Red River encampment, I just think, this was so good. I can't believe that it's better than last year. Jan Young, many of you remember Bill and Jan, said the same thing Wednesday evening. I can't believe it, but I think this was the best year ever, she said. And that's the way I felt. So many great lessons. And I want you to hear some of the things that were presented at the Red River family encampment. Tonight you'll be listening to Brother Chuck Monahan, who is a preacher for the Pleasant Valley congregation in Little Rock, Arkansas. The theme this year was, I love to tell the story. That song, that Christian hymn that we sing, I love to tell, that song there. And each of the speakers were given a lesson based on one of the phrases in that particular song. Brother Monahan had the subject, For Some Have Never Heard That Old, Old Story. And I want you to hear and to be blessed by that incredible lesson. But while we were at Red River, my daily Bible reading one morning took me to the book of Micah. And I was in reading from several chapters, but in that was chapters 4, verses 1 through 5. And that inspired me to think about the lesson that I wanted to bring this morning. Speaking through the prophet Micah, the Lord had this to say, and it shall come. And this is a prophetic reference to the coming of the kingdom of Christ, or the kingdom of God, which of course Christ came to do and established. It says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted above the hills. And peoples will flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine, and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken, for all the peoples walk each in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Micah was one of the 8th century prophets to the nation of Israel and also to Judah. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and Amos, probably knew Amos, maybe even Jeremiah. Israel, of course, was running away from God at breakneck speed. Judah, under Hezekiah's rule, wasn't very far behind. But Judah was in the midst of an economic revival. Times were good, but in both nations, faithfulness to God had all but disappeared. The profession of faith was still there. When they took the polls, the large percentage of people said, yeah, we still believe in God. We still believe in heaven. We still believe in the Bible, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? But the worship of idols was rampant, and it had become corrupt. Personal and collective morals and ethics had become so corrupt that the Lord says, this is in chapter 1, verse 9 of the book of Micah, for her, speaking about Judah now, for her wound is incurable. It has come to Judah, and it has reached to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Do you understand what he's saying there? When he says that her wound is incurable, he's not saying that his people have gotten off track a little bit. He's saying they are so far gone, there is no way for them to come back. There's nothing left to be done for his people except allow them to be taken away into captivity and under in submission to their enemies, which were the Assyrians. And I think a lot of us have the feeling that as a nation that once was known for its association with Christianity, that we too are rapidly approaching the tipping point. We may have already gone past it. I don't know. And that there may not be anything left for us except to be handed over to our enemies. I know I don't have to go through a long litany in which shows that Christianity's influence on our nations being flaunted and abused. Most of you know as well as I do what's going on in this country. But we remember, for example, just a couple of years ago that the Supreme Court of the United States passed a law that shocked us, that same-sex marriage was declared to be legal. Now I'd like to remind you that legal doesn't mean right, you understand. I remember reading about the Compromise of 1850 that made the owning of slaves legal, but it didn't make it right, you see. I read recently of a high school student who gave credit to God for the success that he had had in his high school career. And without the student's permission, school officials replaced the word God in the yearbook with the word others. So he was thanking others. Alberto Gonzalez, who was the former United States Attorney General under President George W. Bush, he recently made this statement. He said, I am dismayed at the assault on the Christian church and our religious liberties. The rhetoric today, he says, is not for neutrality. It is for the elimination of religion from our national discourse. Opponents of religion expect unequivocal tolerance from Christians on various matters, yet quickly call us intolerant for our beliefs on such issues as gay marriage. Now, there may be some good news on the horizon. Sometimes extremes beget extremes, don't they? Just recently in the state of Kentucky, the governor there signed a bill into law that makes it permissible to teach the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, in public schools. It's a part of the social studies curriculum. And this is done because of the impact and the influence that certainly everybody recognizes, the impact and the influence of the Bible on our history, our American history. Many speakers and writers talk about this as a cultural war. And that's a very appropriate metaphor, I think. Although it's not a physical war. We're not taking out guns and clubs and stuff like that. It's a spiritual war. And to fight a spiritual battle successfully, we have to look to God for wisdom and the power and the strength to fight this battle. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." Brother Chris Winford at the Red River Encampment, Brother Chris was here. Some of you may remember a few years back when he had a particular seminar on evangelism, which I appreciated. But he also spoke at the Red River Encampment, had an early bird class every morning at 8 o'clock on making America godly again, where I got that idea a while ago. He suggested three ways that we can do that. He spoke about living righteously. He spoke about praying fervently. And he spoke about evangelizing diligently. In the lesson that you'll hear tonight, Brother Manan says that if the world's going to see what the strategy, he says, if we're going to turn this thing around. I'm not saying that we can turn it around, but he's saying if we're going to make America godly again, we have to have a strategy. And the strategy is to show the world Christ, who came to show us His glory and His power and the grace and His truth. And Brother Manan says there are three things that every Christian must do. We must become good at dispensing God's grace, which means we need to be vessels of goodness and grace to others. He said we must commit to the truth. We must not back away from teaching the Scriptures. We must constantly remind people, this is what God says. This is the way the Bible teaches. And we have to impress that upon our culture to the degree that it begins to reflect that. And then he says we must practice faithfulness. We got to stop giving up. We got to stop giving in. We got to stop giving things away. We got to be faithful to our Lord. Now, I understand, I'm not suggesting, and neither were these brothers, that we can save our nation. That it's even possible for us to turn things around. I'm not saying we're going to win the culture war. I'm just saying, as the Lord said through Micah, for all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. The world's going to continue doing what it does. Jesus said, in this world we'll have tribulation. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Sometimes tribulations come in the form of physical trials, such as health problems, accidents maybe, earthly disasters, wars, violence erupting around us. Sometimes, however, the tribulations are more of an ideological or a spiritual nature. There's a clash of values and ideas. There's a clash of philosophies and beliefs. There are temptations and there are evil desires. Sometimes it may seem like all the winning is being done by the other side. But I can assure you, when God is in control, the other side's victory is always going to be short-lived. The culture war is not a war between Democrats and Republicans. It's not a war between liberals and conservatives. The nationalism and the populism of Donald Trump is not going to save us. And neither will the socialism of people like Bernie Sanders. This world, this nation, this age has but one hope, and that is Jesus Christ. Christ preached, Christ believed, Christ embraced, and Christ emulated. I challenge you today to walk in the fear of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, which is Christ. Peter said, remember in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Live every day and every minute of every day as you believe Jesus would live it. Live it to honor His name. Don't be afraid or ashamed to talk about Christ. Remember, every time you talk about Him to others, He's talking about you to the Father. Put all of your faith and all of your hope and all of your worries in Him and on Him. Don't listen to the world and all of the devil's lies. And make sure that you're feeding on God's Word every day. And don't get distracted from your spiritual priorities. In closing, I want you to hear these words from the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning about verse 10, Paul writes to encourage Christians to show them how to keep from becoming a casualty, if you will, in this spiritual or this culture war. He writes these things. And listen to this. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, and in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. In other words, Paul says, keep on keeping on and keep on walking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the Lord, if your life is out of tune because of sin, if you realize you need to make some decisions and some changes, and if we can be of help to you, we want to do that. If you need to respond this morning, if you're not a Christian, become one. If you're a Christian that's been walking away from the Lord or walking without the Lord, come back. And confess that and ask God to restore you to His side once again. Or if you just need some help in your life as you go through some struggles and would like the prayers of the congregation, please let that be made known. If you need to come this morning for any reason, do it now while together we stand as we sing.